Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yom. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We are now in Masachet Kiddushin Daf Ayin Chet Amud Bet at the very bottom of the Amud. The next Mishnah, Mishnatan Rashut Lishlucho Likadesh, which is of course Mishnah Tet. Mishnatan Rashut Lishlucho Likadesh at Bito. So if a fellow gave Rashut to his Shaliach to go out and accept Kiddushin for his daughter, who's of course underage, Valachu v'kidsha, and then he himself went out and accepted kiddushin for her. Very simply, im shalo kadmu kiddushav kiddushin. This is similar to the sugya that we've seen several times about the Pesach. If his kiddushin are first, then his kiddushin are fine, and the shaliachs are not. Im shal shlucho kadmu. If his shaliach's kiddushin came first, then kiddushav kiddushin. Then those kiddushin are fine, and his are no good. Vim eno yadua. If we don't know which are first, shneim not nim get. Both putative husbands give a get, but if they're agreeable, and by the way, as long as the second one in this pair is not a kohen, achad noten get v'achad kones. The one gives a get, the other can then marry her. He has to do another ma'aseh kedushin, of course. Now, the Mishnah repeats this halacha, oddly, with a slight twist. If a woman gave reshut to her shaliach to go out and accept kedushin, so the woman is now an adult, then she went and accepted kiddushin for herself. Im shalach kadmu kiddusha kiddushin. If her kiddushin came first, then that's fine. Im shal shlucha kadmu kiddushav kiddushin. If the shaliachs were first, then his kiddushin are valid and hers are not. Of course, hers are not because if she's ordered mikudeshet to somebody else, her kiddushin are meaningless. Im einan yodin. If nobody knows which is first, nehem not nim laget. Both give a get. Im ratzu achad noten laget v'achad kones. Or one gives a get, the other marries her, as we saw before. The obvious question that Gemara has to deal with is, why do we need both clauses of the Mishnah? Utsricha. If we only had the first clause that talks about the father, we would say, Mishum de Gavra kimle bi yuchsin. The father is an expert in yuchsin. Men generally are more familiar with the nuances of family background and all, at least in the time of the Gemara. And therefore, we would assume that when he goes to get Kiddushin on his own for his daughter, he is effectively rejecting the Shaliach. If it comes to a woman who's not such an expert, perhaps her kiddushin are no good, even if they came first, because perhaps her appointing the shaliach takes it kind of out of her hands, and therefore her accepting kiddushin is not a rejection of the shlichut, it's just kind of a backup plan, but his kiddushin still trump. That's what we would think. If we have the second clause of the Mishnah, which is her accepting kiddushin, as opposed to her father, from the Ita Tadaika Minsaba, we have a general rule that a woman is very careful about who she marries. This rule is first employed sequentially for us at the end of Yevamot to inform the issue of a woman marrying based on one witness that her husband died. But the father, maybe he's not so careful because the implications on him won't be as strong. So therefore, I would think that when the father goes and accepts kiddushin on his own for his daughter, as opposed to the shaliach, that's not really rejection of the shlichut. Tzricha, therefore I need both. Now, itmar, we have the following statement. Kidsha via baderach, v'kidsha atzma ba'ir. Her father went on the road to accept kiddushin for her. In the meantime, she accepted kiddushin in the city. And now, it's not a question of a shaliach. V'arehi bogeret. And now, she is a bogeret. We'll have to see when this happened. Rava Maharehi Bogeret Lefanenu. She's a Bogeret. The father's Kiddushin are meaningless. She's independent. And her Kiddushin are the only ones that count. We don't care which came first. Shmuel Amar Chashin LeKiddushin Shneim. Shmuel says we have to be concerned which one is the real Kiddushin, and therefore it plays like our Mishnah, both give a get. Now, our question about this is Emat. When did this happen? If it happened during the 6 months between becoming a Na'ara and becoming a Bogeret, could Rav say, here she's a Bogeret in front of us? She's not a Bogeret yet. Hashtahu debagra. Now she's a Bogeret, but it took place, let's say, a week ago. In other words, are we saying that this took place while during the 6 months of becoming Bogeret, and now as a Bogeret she comes to us and says, this happened last week? That's irrelevant. And what she is now today is irrelevant, because what's relevant is what she was when it took place. Al-Lachar Shisha must be that the whole thing took place after the 6 months that separate Narut and Bagrut. Why would Shmuel say that we have to be concerned about both sets of Kiddushin? Meaning father's and hers. Shmuel is the author of the opinion that we all accept that Narut is 6 months. And 6 months later she's a Bogeret, which means she's flat out a Bogeret here. And there's no question that her Kiddushin are the only ones that count. So lo tzricha de kaddish by uyoma de mishlam shisha. Must be that the kiddushin took place on the day that her 6 months were up. Rav amar hei bogeret lefanenu. Rav says, look, she's a bogeret. We see her a bogeret. She's 6 months past being a nara. Midahashto bogeret, but safranam bogeret. Since she's a bogeret now, she would consider a bogeret in the morning when she accepted kiddushin. Ushmuel amar hashto hudaiti simonim. He says, no, maybe she became a bogeret now. We look at her and she's a bogeret. Maybe 3 hours ago, when the thing happened, she wasn't, and therefore we have to be concerned she wasn't a bogeret and kifadah's kiddushin count, or she was a bogeret and hers do. So Ushmuel, so now the question on Shmuel is, Maishtam, a mikvah, why is this any different than the famous case of the mikvah, in the beginning of Masachet Nida? Non mikvah shinimdat, it's a Mishnah mikvot, but it's a sugya dealt with the Nida. Non mikvah shinimdat v'nimtza chaser. So we checked the mikvah today, and it was fine, 40 sa'ah. We checked it a week from now, and it's 39 sa'ah. Kol tarot shenasu agabav l'mafreya, the psak is that anybody who went to the mikvah in the past week, meaning since the minute we finished checking it, today, any taharot that were done based on that mikvah, meaning a person went into the mikvah 3 days ago, and then touched the taharot and dealt with truma, whatever it is, it's not even a safek. Ben reshut ha'achid ben reshut rabim, tmeot. They're all tameh. Now remember the halacha is that safek tumah is tamei b'shut ha'achid, but b'shut ha'abim is tahor. So if the psak is that both b'shut ha'achid and b'shut ha'abim is tamei, that means that we're not even regarding this as a safek. 100%, no question, the mikvah was chaser any time since the last time we checked it and found it to be full, and that means that Rav's position is substantiated, that the circumstance that we identify now, we retrofit to reality until the last time that we knew it to be different. So she's a Bogeret now, she must have been a Bogeret earlier. Just like this mikvah must have been chaser earlier. So this fits Rav. This is difficult for Shmuel. Shmuel's answer would be, Shani Hatam de'ika lememer hamed tamel chezkato ve'emar lo taval. Because in that case, the fellow who was Tomei 3 days ago had a chezkas tuma. How do you uproot his chezkat tuma and make him no longer tamei? Only when he certainly goes into a mikvah. So to uproot his chezkat tuma, I need a vadai mikvah, and now I don't have a vadai mikvah. Adraba, hamein mikvah al chezkat tov mei lo chaser. But I have another chazaka that runs opposite, which is that I checked the mikvah a week ago and it was fine. So why don't I say the mikvah maintained its status? You're saying he maintained his status of tamei, but I'm saying the mikvah maintained its status of being proper and it was a good tefillah. The answer is, harei chaser lefanecha. The answer is, because you look at it, and it's a deficient mikvah. You can't say the mikvah maintained itself, because look at it, it's not maintained. So, achanami ar bogeret lefanecha. So say the same thing. Here, this girl's a bogeret, Shmuel, so how can you say she wasn't a bogeret a few hours ago? We're basing our read of the past based on the current reality. Hashtahuda bagra. The answer is, she just became a bogeret. So if that's the case, hagamah hashtahuda chaser. So why don't we just say the mikvah just became chaser, Shmuel? And if that's the case, Shmuel, why do we say the tarot made a 3 days ago are no good? And why don't we just say the mikvah was fine until now? The answer is, hatam tarta the reyuta, hachachara the reyuta. Then in the case of the mikvah, we have two things which go against calling this tahor. One is the guy had a chezkat tumah, and the second thing is the reality is the mikvah is missing, which means there are two assumptions that if we accept them, reality works well. Assumption that this guy is tamei, there are two chazakot which are substantiated by ruling him to be tamei. The chazakah of tumah and the reality that the mikvah is chaser. Hachachar the reyuta. Here, all we have is that the girl wasn't a bogeret at some point, and now she is. And so therefore, Shmuel could say, in that case, I could say she just changed. Now, Shmuel, Maishnami Chavit. Now, this needs a little bit of introduction that Gemara is going to give. So Shmuel has sort of been defended against the challenge from mikvah, but there's another challenge from the case of the barrel. The case of the barrel of wine works as follows. One introduction is, remember that you cannot separate truma from wine to cover vinegar or vice versa. All right, here we go. Somebody kept checking their wine barrel to make sure the wine was still good wine, because they were going to separate truma. They checked it every few days, wherever often. And then they separated truma, and the next time they went back, they found it had become vinegar. So we don't know when it became vinegar. If it became vinegar before separating truma, the truma is no good. If it was afterwards, then the truma is good. So we don't know what to do. The halacha is called Gimel Yamim Vadai. For 3 days back, this is the way the Rishonim prefer to read it, for the last 3 days, then I consider 100% this is vinegar, no question. And if I took truma within the last 3 days, it's no good. Mikan va'elach safek. Anything before that is a safek. Might have been vinegar, might have been wine, and I deal with it that way. Now, that's the halacha of the wine. V'ramin and chavita mikvah. This is before we get to Shmuel. We threw the ruling of chavit against the ruling of the mikvah. In the case of the mikvah, we said, for sure, the thing is still tamei. And here we're saying it's a safek more than 3 days ago. Why? What was his answer? Mantani Chavit. Who's the author of the Brite of Chavit? Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the ruling we just saw in the Mishnah about the mikvah, which is he says that the mikvah is also not vadai no good. That's what we had. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bishut Rabim Taharot. What's the deen, according to Rabbi Shimon, if I checked the mikvah today, it was fine. I checked the mikvah a week from now, and it was deficient. And somebody used that mikvah during the past week, and then encountered some Taharot and touched them. If he encountered them in Rishut Rabim, Tahor, like any other Safek Tuma. And if he encountered them in Rishut Yachid, then Tolin. Tolin, what does that mean? That means we regard it as Safek, we don't know what to do with it, we can't burn it if it's Truma, we bury it. Aval the Rabbanan, Tevel Mafreya. But according to Rabbanan, what does he say, they say about the Chavit? In other words, the author of the Chavit is Rabbi Shimon, who has the same position about the Mikvah. Anytime that situation was a week ago, and it's not a today, I have to regard the intermittent period as maybe a. Chachamim will say no. If it's not a today, I'm going to say it's not a all the way back to the last time I knew it was a. And therefore, in the case of the Mikvah, it's Tamei, and in the case of this stuff, it's for sure Tevel. It was vinegar the whole time. From the minute that I last left checking it. So if that's the case, then we now have two challenges to Shmuel, the mikvah one, which we responded to, and now the chavit. Shani hatam, dikolamemra, hamed tevel chazkato. The case of the chavit is different because the food was originally tevel. So we say, to prove that it's not tevel, you got to prove that it was valid truma. Just like we had with the mikvah, why don't we say that the wine maintains its chazaka? It was wine. It maintained wine. The answer is, the answer is because you're looking at vinegar. Right now it's vinegar. Back to our case. She's a bogeret, just like Rav says. So the answer is, hashtu udabagra. Yeah, she just became a bogeret, Shmuel would answer. So no, nami hashtu, Hatam nami hashtahud achmitz. Say the same thing about the wine. The wine just became vinegar. The answer is hatam tarta the riuta hachara the riuta hudika. Same answer, which is you have in the case of the mikvah, the fellow was tame, and the reality is the mikvah is empty, deficient in front of us. And the same thing here, the tevel was tevel, and the wine is now vinegar. So those tarta the riuta now are supported by ruling that the stuff is tevel, or ruling that the fellow is, that the stuff is tame. Now, name a katanai. The suggestion is that the machloket Rav and Shmuel follows this machloket tanaim. This is talking now about a whole different area of halacha, and that is the din of matnat shechiv mirah. Remember, if somebody's a shechiv mirah, somebody's on their deathbed, very sick, and they give a matana, if they give everything away and then they get better, they can take the matana back because the clear assumption was they were doing it because they thought they were going to die. If, on the other hand, a person's a healthy person, gives everything away, it's given away, you can't get it back. Now, a fellow gives everything away and then comes back and wants it back. Mi motzi miyad mi. Who has to bring the claim? Who has to bring the proof? Hu motzi miyadam velo raya. The donor can take it back without proof. Vehenen motzi miyadol velo raya. But the donees, the recipients, cannot take it without proving that he really was a bari when he gave it. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Natan Omer, he does a different take. Im barehu, if right now he's a healthy man, alav lavi raya shai shchimirah, he has to prove that he wasn't healthy when he made the matana, that he was on a sick bed. Shchimirahu, if right now he's on a sick bed, he's got 14 needles poking out of everything, surrounded by nurses and doctors, then alem lavi raya shabari haya, they have to bring a proof that when he made the matana, he was a bari. So it looks like Rabbi Natan says, whatever you see in front of you, this looks like Rav, whatever you see in front of you, that's what you assume the past was. And Rabbi Yaakov says, not necessarily. So now, name a Rav Damar Krabi Natan, a Shmuel Damar Krabi Yaakov. So it sounds like Rav is simply adopting Rabbi Natan's position, that whatever reality we see, that's what we assume the past to be, and Rabbi Yaakov doesn't accept that, like Shmuel follows that. So Amalach HaRav, Rav would say as follows, Anadamri Afilu Krabi Yaakov, what I say even Rabbi Yaakov would agree with. Ad kam lo kamer b'Yakov hatam. In the case of the Shechiv Mira, he said, the ikalamim ramein mamono cheskato. You have a cheskat mamon. The donor owns the money. You want to prove that it should leave the donor's possession? Then fine. Prove that he was a bari. Avalhacha minem amayt guva cheskato. Here, you can't say that about the bogeret. Bodies change. Money doesn't change. It could stay in the same family for generations. Bodies change. People are born and then they become developed and then become a Naran and a Bugaret. People change. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel would counter. Anadam Rafilik Rabbi Natan. What I'm saying, even Rabbi Natan would agree with. Ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Natan hatam nekuliyahu cheskat brim kaimi. Rabbi Natan would say as follows. In a normal case, everybody has a chazak of being healthy. You want to prove you were sick? You got to prove you were sick. Everybody else is healthy. Being sick is the abnormal case. Right? Here, she's not changing her earlier chazaka. According to Shmuel, she's being supported by her earlier chazaka, which is to say, she's still a na'ara. Now, Neimakani Tanai. So, in other words, Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Natan cannot be aligned with Rav and Shmuel. But maybe Rav and Shmuel can be aligned with these Tanai. Which is exactly our case. Harehi Bogeret, and now she's a Bogeret. Tana Chad Harei Bogeret Levanenu. One Tana says, exactly like Rav says, she's a Bogeret. Her father's Kiddushin are meaningless. It's only her Kiddushin, without a Safek. The other one says exactly what Shmuel says, which have to, we have to be concerned about both of the Kiddushin and to give to Gittin. So my love, Chad Kirav, Chad Kishmuel, isn't it that one Tana holds like Rav, one like Shmuel, which means Rav and Shmuel are simply replicating a Machloket Tanaim, which of course is a subtle challenge, because then Rav and Shmuel should just say halacha like this and halacha like that, instead of presenting what seems to be innovative and new idea, and new opinions. The answer is lo, Edi v'Edi Kishmuel. Both opinions that say Choshin and it's for sure hers follow Shmuel. If she says, I was already a Bulgaret, then we believe her, and there's no question that her father's Kiddushin just off the table, and the only one counts are hers. If she doesn't challenge it, then we say she may have been a Bulgaret, may not, we don't know whose Kiddushin are, and which means we're following Shmuel the whole way, and Shmuel will admit that if she denies, if she claims, I was a Bulgaret, we believe her, then that's the end of that story. So if that's the case, so if you say that the Braita is not a machloket, Amoraim nami lo pligi. Maybe the Amoraim also don't disagree. Maybe Shmuel and Rav don't disagree. And maybe Rav just says, we only consider her Kiddushin when she makes the claim that she was a Bogeret. And Shmuel is just talking about a case where she doesn't make such a claim. Vatisbra, think about that. Harav Yosef Beredu Al Menashe Midavil Avad Uvda Kvatei Rav. He ruled like Rav, which means in a case like this, he said nothing to worry about Kiddushin or hers. Veikpid Shmuel, and Shmuel was Makpid V'Amar, and he said sort of offhand, Kule Alma Kailele Bekava Zuta V'Haimin Rabbanu Kailele Bekava Rav. Everybody else needs a little box; he needs a big box. Meaning, he's so much wiser than the rest of us. He was saying this facetiously, of course, saying that he was making a mistake. If Rav and Shmuel don't disagree, then why was Shmuel being makpid? If he was ruling like Rav, maybe he was ruling like Rav because the girl had said, I was a Bogeret, and Shmuel would agree. So, we indeed do not know. In this arcane case where it would happen on the day that she became a Bogeret. Rashi himself said that the halacha is like Rav, the Gemara concludes Hilchata Kavatei de Rav. The halacha is like Rav, and as Tosfot points out here, that normally we rule the halacha is like Rav beisuri. Nonetheless, we had a pasuk in him because there were Amoraim, as we saw. Amemar had paskened like Shmuel, so there was a need for us to point out that halacha follows Rav. Okay, we will stop at this point and pick up Mirtz Hashem in the next podcast at the Mishnah on Ayin Tet Amud Bet, as we very quickly find ourselves closing in on the Siyum of Masechet Kiddushin. Everyone should have a wonderful day.